Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, health, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on natural remedies when we come back. You know, a $10 pizza has a 38% tax on it. That's right, 38% tax on a pizza. A Budweiser six-pack has a 43% tax, and a fifth of Jack Daniels is taxed 72%. Now, governments tax us all, and they tax anything that wiggles, moves, or squirms. But what is it that government does to produce, to prepare, or to deliver, for which the government gets paid 38% for a pizza, 43% for a beer, and 72% for a drink? Does the guy at the pizza parlor make a 38% profit on that pizza that he has to buy the ingredients to make, prepare it, cook it, serve it, and then pay rent on the store that you sit in to eat it? Why is it that the government gets paid more in tax than the people who actually produce, prepare, and deliver the goods and services that we all buy? Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Now, be sure to ask for my free general law CD package while you're at it. Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. You can call and order yours right now. That number again, 417-273-4967. Now, the school tax and status is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Click on to the email and send an email request for that free general law CD package. You can do it either two ways, georgegordon.org over the email, or you can call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about natural remedies. 11,000, got that? 11,000 inexpensive home remedies for more than 730 diseases and disorders. Diseases and disorders, nasty diseases like cancer, heart attack, stroke. What do you do when you actually get the symptoms? Now, I mentioned to you last time, you know, we all want to break the law. We want to drink to excess, and we don't want to get cirrhosis of the liver. We want to smoke, but we don't want to get lung cancer. We want to break the law, but we don't want to get caught. And if we get caught, we don't want to pay any penalties. That's what the bottom line is. Now, a guy by the name of Magic Johnson. Remember that name? Magic Johnson. He was a basketball player. And he got AIDS. And you know how these basketball players are. They're pretty popular guys. And they make a lot of money. Like this guy, Kobe Bryant. So they're out partying. They have a game, you know, and they're off in some other city someplace. And they have a game. They get through with the game. They want to have a party. They want to have drinks and girls and sex and, you know, burn the candle at both ends. Well, Magic Johnson did that, and he admitted that he'd had a lot of sexual activity with a lot of people, and one day he came up with AIDS. Now, AIDS is a sexually transmitted disease called an STD, of which there's a number of those, like gonorrhea and syphilis and AIDS and herpes and so on. And these sexually transmitted diseases, some of them, in fact, maybe all of them, but at least some of them, are incurable. Incurable. Now, there's a phenomenon out here. Not everybody gets the disease. All right, we talked about that last time. You know, just because bubonic plague is a very rapacious disease does not mean that everybody in the village gets bubonic plague. When bubonic plague was sweeping Europe, it would come through a village. There's 100 people in the village, and 75 of them would get bubonic plague. 25 of them didn't. Of the 75 that got bubonic plague, 7 or 8 of them recovered. Now, you know, 65 of them died, 10 of them survived, But here's the key, 25 of them never got it at all. Now, it's inconceivable that 100 people living in a village, 75 of them get bubonic plague, 25 of them don't. The 25 that didn't get it had been exposed, but they didn't get it. So you can go to Flo's Whorehouse, and you're not going to get VD every time you walk in the door. Why is that? Well, the answer lies in your immune system. Your immune system moves up and down like a thermometer. And your immune system is what keeps you from getting sick. And if, as long as your immune system is up and running and it's not impaired, you'll never get sick. You won't get sick. You only get sick when your immune system is impaired to some degree. So as you poison your body with tobacco, booze, caffeine, mercury, lead, the chemicals, fluoride and chlorine. Okay, as you pollute, as you plug up your lymph system, as you prey upon your immune system, it gets weaker and weaker and weaker. And then one day, you're exposed to AIDS or bubonic plague and you get sick and symptoms develop and pain occurs. And then you want to go to the doctor and you want that doctor to solve your problem for you. All right, so you'll notice here in the encyclopedia, they keep repeating over and over again, you know, stop drinking and stop drinking coffee, caffeine, you know, get it out of your diet and don't smoke. But, you know, boys and girls, out here in the real world, I remember my dad took me in one time. He sat me down at the kitchen table, pulled out a bottle of Four Roses bourbon, and he said, let's have a drink. I'm 12 years old. Now, I know some of you people are sitting out there horrified. What? What? Your dad did what? Yeah, he sat me down. He said, you know, you're 12 years old. You know, we weren't Jews, so, you know, it's almost like bar mitzvah time. You know, it's time for you, kid, to learn how to drink. So he told me, he said, you're gonna go out and drink. And I said, oh, no, Dad, no, I won't go out and drink. And he said, oh, yeah, you will. Sure you will. Yeah, you're going to get out there with those pimply-faced punk friends of yours, and one of them's going to steal some booze from his daddy, and you're going to sample some of that booze, and you'll get a buzz on, you'll get half drunk, and it'll feel pretty good, and so you'll want to do it again and again. And pretty soon, you may become an alcoholic, or you may get drunk and go out and drive and kill somebody. So you need to learn how to drink. Now, my dad believed in education. I was educated in public school, but my dad taught me how to use a gun, taught me how to hunt and fish, taught me how to drink, taught me how to smoke, taught me how to keep from getting AIDS, herpes, and VD from the girls that he was convinced that I was going to go out and cavort with. And so, from his perspective as a parent, he said, well, now, Georgie, you're going to go out and do these things, and you need to be educated. You need to learn about alcohol. So he taught me how to drink. Let me show you a little example of this. We're sitting there at the table. Now, whiskey to a 12-year-old kid doesn't taste very good. Pepsi Cola is a lot better. I would have preferred a Pepsi Cola. And whiskey is bitter. It burns. It doesn't taste good. There isn't anything about whiskey that would be appealing to anybody except the effects that you get from the alcohol. So he poured a little drink and over the rocks, as they call it, on ice. And then he said, well, sip a little of that and see what you like. So I sipped a little of it and I said, I don't like it. And then he said, well, that's an acquired taste. And he was sitting there drinking highball. He said, let's put a little Coke in it and see if you like it that way. And so I put a little Coke in it. Well, it was better. Yeah, it was a little better. And he said, now, how much can you drink at one sitting? Well, I'm 12 years old. How do I know how much I can drink at one sitting? So he explained it to me, and he said, well, you can drink at your weight at about 120 pounds. He said, you could drink about two drinks, and if you drink about four drinks, maybe six, that's 1 ounce to a drink. He said, your body will reject that, and you'll pass out. And that's what happens when you drink. You pass out drunk. Now, we didn't drink until I passed out drunk, but he explained to me body weight, binge drinking, alcoholism. And he told me, he said, son, if you want to drink, there's the cabinet right over there, and there's wine, and there's whiskey, and there's vodka. You can drink. But I want you to drink responsibly. I want you to be responsible. That's a wild concept, isn't it? It's kind of like drinking coffee. It's like women. You know, Solomon had 1,000 wives. Sex is a great invention. Sex is wonderful. But don't you think 1,000 women is a little on the excessive side? Food is good. Food's wonderful. I love to eat, and I think food's great. And Americans have gotten to the point where they eat so much that 27% of us are fat. We're obese. We're eating too much. So in the Bible, you'll see moderation is preached from Genesis to Revelation. First of all, it's freedom of choice. You have to have freedom of choice to have freedom. But you have to be informed so that you don't go overboard. Now, drinking in the Bible is not prohibited, but drinking to excess is. Eating in the Bible isn't prohibited, but gluttony is. And the same thing is true now with smoking and caffeine and coffee and all these things that all of us are going to imbibe in. Every one of you out there, except, you know, I shouldn't say everyone, you know, there's probably a few exceptions, but by and large, most of you people are going to drink coffee. You're going to drink tea. You're going to drink booze, and many of you are going to smoke. You're going to imbibe in marijuana, cocaine, heroin. I mean, it's just a part of life. It's the experimentation. It's the excitement of trying something new. You're going to go down to Flo's whorehouse. You're going to have an extramarital affair, or you're going to experiment with sex. And when you do, those are high-risk events. High-risk events. And there are consequences that come from them, typically disease. So what you really want is a cure for the disease, and that's where Magic Johnson comes in. Magic Johnson. Now, I haven't got this, you know, the straight skinny on this, but I've gotten some rumors that Johnson hasn't died yet. Now, he got AIDS about 10, 15 years ago. I mean, it's a long time back. He should be dead and buried by now, but he's not. And the rumor that I got was that Magic Johnson is treating his AIDS, his HIV infection, holistically. He's treating it with vitamins and minerals. He's changed his lifestyle. Now, people that get cancer and treat it holistically survive. 100% of the people that I've observed do that have survived. Those that treat it chemically with allopathic medicine, from what I've observed, 100% have died. No, I haven't seen everybody with cancer one way or the other. And some people who treat it holistically do die, and some people who treat it chemically do live. You know, Lance Armstrong is an example of that. But boys and girls, you want to keep in mind that those are the exceptions. Now, the insurance companies don't work off of exceptions. The insurance company works off of the actuaries. Now, what are the statistical odds that this is going to occur? So I would say to you, the best solution to AIDS is don't get it. Don't get AIDS. Don't go down to Flo's whorehouse. Don't practice sodomy. Don't practice these high-risk sex activities where you run the risk of getting AIDS. That's good advice, but the realities of life are that you're not going to do that, and you are actually going to go out and do these high-risk events, and some of you, not all, but some of you are going to get caught. It's kind of like the girls in school, remember? They were out fooling around a little bit, and not all of them got pregnant. Just Vivian Westerman and four or five others. It was just a handful of girls that got knocked up. It wasn't all of them. But there was a whole lot more of them that were out messing around on Friday night after the football game than people let on. And it's from these high-risk activities that disease flows. Now, God told you, thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, but people are going to do that, aren't they? And when they commit adultery, they're going to get sexually transmitted diseases. Now, God told you not to be a glutton, but, you know, people are gluttons, and so they go out and eat too much, and then they get fat, and then you got to knock that weight off, or you're going to come up with diabetes or heart trouble or some kind of debilitating side effects that come from it. Now, when you get enough of that, and you will, at some point in time, the pain will become so great that you're going to have to either do one of two things. You're going to have to go to the doctor and get some kind of a drug that'll kill the pain. Or you're going to wake up to reality and then stop breaking those laws and heal yourself. Right? So let's aim ourselves at this healing process. What causes this weakened immune system? Now, the immune system is the God-ordained, designed mechanism by which your body heals itself from disease. If you'll feed that immune system, your immune system will throw off every disease that is known to man. All 730 of these, that body will throw it off. Let's take a look here at the causes. There are two types of immune disorder. Okay, so this immune disorder falls into two groups. One type stems from immune deficiency in which the body's defenses fail to respond properly to a pathogen. This allows for the disease to take over. HIV and Candida are examples of this. The other type of immune deficiency arises from an overreaction of the immune system when it is hypersensitive to antigens such as allergies, or when the body attacks its own tissues like multiple sclerosis or lupus. Autoimmune disorders can result from conditions ranging from rheumatoid arthritis to kidney disease. Unrelenting stress, chronic allergies, and chronic infections can exhaust your immune system. Medicinal drugs such as cortisone, then there's another one, prednisone, and chemotherapy cause immune depression. Beware of these drugs. Other causes of a weakened immune system are vaccinations and immunizations against common childhood and epidemic diseases. The thymus gland seems to be the most affected by this weakening. This is especially important due to its production of T helper cells. Let me pause here and let me make a little observation. Notice here, autoimmune disorders can result from conditions. And they say what causes it is medicinal drugs. Okay, so you've got AIDS. Well, if you've got AIDS, then you went to the medical doctor, he gave you that AIDS cocktail. And so you're taking this AIDS cocktail. This AIDS cocktail over here is keeping you alive. And so it isn't that you're going to live to be 75. It means that you're not going to die in the next 2 or 3 years. It'll take 10 or 15 years for you to die. But you're going to die an early death. And it's because you're depressing your immune system, and it's your immune system that you have to have intact in order to heal your body. So the guy that's got AIDS says, well, if I don't take the AIDS cocktail, I'm going to die. And if I do take the AIDS cocktail, I won't die right away, but I'm going to die at an early age, but I'll live another 10 or 15 years. Not a very good choice, is it? All right, now you can do something really wild. You can get off the AIDS cocktail altogether. Get the hell out of the medical doctor's office and treat this disease holistically. And that's what I've heard rumored Magic Johnson did. And not only is he still alive, from what I, the rumors that I heard or the reports that I got, was that the AIDS has been cured. It's not only just in remission, it's gone. And Johnson has been trying to get this information out. And he's been going to various and sundry publishers and saying, let me tell you my story, and they won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. And there's good reason for that. Let me describe to you what happens to people that go out and get crosswise of the establishment. And there was a guy out in California, I've forgotten his name now. If I think of it, I'll share it with you. It's kind of irrelevant. But this guy was a medical doctor. He was a cancer researcher. An MD cancer researcher. And, you know, he had heard that there were alternative therapies to cancer. Now, this guy is a conventional medical doctor doing his thing, and he's using aid money from government, and he's working away. And he starts using this money for alternative therapies and discovers these alternative therapies actually work. And so he goes to publish his work. And the AMA prosecuted him. I mean, they turned him in, and the government, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, and the AMA prosecuted this medical doctor for using these unapproved therapies. Now, he's a cancer researcher. You know, you'd think that he would try something new from time to time. His name was Bruce Halstead. I remember his name now. Bruce Halstead was his name. And they prosecuted this guy, and they put him in prison. That's what happens when you go public with your findings. See, as long as you're in the fringe, you're in the lunatic fringe, and you're over here in the shadows, and you're telling people about these alternative therapies, that's okay. My God, heaven help you if you become a celebrity, you know, like you're a Bruce Halstead, or you're a cancer researcher, or you're something, and you come out and say, hey, listen, I think these guys are probably right over here in the lunatic fringe. Let's give some of their ideas some tests. Let's try it. Then they come down on you with a vengeance. Now, the press is a part and parcel of it. See, the people that control the American Medical Association also control CBS and ABC, and there are people like Rupert Murdoch. You know, these are the media moguls. And these people have an agenda, and it's the New World Order agenda. And because of that disease, sickness, population control is a part and parcel of the agenda. And disease, killing people like AIDS, being a pandemic now worldwide, is a disease that has been cultivated and used to destroy the black race. And it's well underway, and it's working like a shot. And this guy, Magic Johnson, is a black man. And he wants to tell people, hey, listen, I'm a black man, I got AIDS, but I'm treating it naturally and holistically, and it went away. I cured it. Now, if Magic Johnson can cure his AIDS, do you suppose that maybe some other black dude could cure his AIDS if he did what Magic Johnson did? Now, do you know what Magic Johnson did? No, probably not, neither do I. I would like to know. So if you know Magic Johnson, or if you've seen a story, or if you know what happened, geez, I would like to know too, because that's important. But you see, the mainstream press, they shut that kind of news, that kind of information off, and you can't get it. And that's why books like this book here called The Natural Remedies and Nature Paths, like Dr. Christopher, are marginalized. I mean, these guys and these techniques cure diseases. And they do it naturally, and they do it from the perspective of we were created by a god, a very smart guy, a fella that had real intelligence. He did not give you tonsils for no good reason. He didn't put adenoids in there to spoil your birthday or to give you a hard time. He put them in there because they were necessary. It was an important part of your immune system. And when you cut your tonsils and adenoids out, it depresses your immune system. Just like taking the headlight out of your car. It doesn't mean that your car won't run. It just means it isn't going to be as good a vehicle. It's not going to be as good a product as it could have been. So you have to live without it. Now, as I mentioned earlier in the beginning of this program, most of us are going to live our lives. We are going to smoke dope. Okay. So those of you that are going to smoke dope, you're going to depress your immune system, and at some point in time, you're going to get symptoms. When these symptoms arise, you're either going to go to the medical doctor and treat it chemically, or you're going to go to the holistic route and you're going to eliminate the cause of the disease. So if marijuana is plugging up your immune system, if you'll stop smoking marijuana and allow your immune system to recoup, your symptoms will go away. Let me tell you a little story here. I was a kid, 17, 18, 19 years old. I got pneumonia. Went over to Dr. Olson in Fortuna, and he examined me, and he says, well, you've got pneumonia, and we know how to treat that. We're going to treat this pneumonia with penicillin. So he gave me a shot of penicillin, and sure enough, I felt better. The next day, I was feeling pretty good. And I kept right on working. See, I was milking cows, and when you're a farmer and you're milking cows, you get up every day and you work whether you're sick or well. Farmers do not stay in bed because they're not feeling well. Farmers do not have sick leave. Farmers, when they're not feeling well, move a little slower, but they get up and milk the cows anyway. They don't move as fast, and they don't accomplish as much work, but they get up and they go out and do their work anyway. And so I did, and I was out working. And then I would get overtaxed, and I'd feel kind of bad. And so May would run me over to Dr. Olson every, it was about Monday and Thursday, twice a week I was getting a shot of penicillin. Maybe it was Monday and Friday or something on that order, or Tuesday and Thursday, I don't remember exactly, but twice a week I was going over there to get penicillin, and it cost $5 a shot, $5 for an office visit, and $5 for a shot of penicillin, $10. And this is going on for about 5 or 6 weeks, and one day, Joe Toasty, good old Joe Toasty, I was over talking, I was sitting on the milk stand. Leah had just loaded the truck and left, and the milk stand was full of empty cans, and I was moving the empty cans onto a couple of carts, getting ready for milking, you know, that night's milking. And Joe Toasty came over, stopped, and he was just kind of chewing the rag, and I was sitting there, leaning up against the milk stand, smoking a cigarette. And somehow the subject came up to pneumonia, and how's your pneumonia doing? Well, it's doing pretty good, and I'm going over to Dr. Olson once or twice a week and getting my shot of penicillin, and Toasty looked at me, and he said, "You've got pneumonia, and you're smoking cigarettes?" You know, I'm puffing on my cigarette, and I said, yeah. The doctor never said anything about I had to stop smoking. And this old farmer, you know, Joe Toasty, he kind of looked at me like, why, you dumb, stupid, punk, pimply-faced kid. And he said, pneumonia, you can't breathe. You're having a problem with your lungs. Isn't that what smoke does? Doesn't the smoke interfere with your breathing? Why don't you quit smoking for a week or two, or a month, whatever it takes, until you get rid of the pneumonia, and then go back to smoking? And I thought about that for a minute, and I said, well, maybe I'll try that. So I did. I quit smoking. That day and the next. It didn't take a week. In fact, when I quit smoking, I didn't need to go back to Dr. Olson anymore. But you'll notice that Dr. Olson didn't tell me to stop smoking. That doctor knew that as long as I kept smoking, that pneumonia was going to persist. And as long as it persisted, he could keep giving me penicillin. And he could keep making $10 a week or $10 twice a week for as long as I had that pneumonia, until finally my immune system threw it off. The minute I quit smoking, my immune system went back to work. And within 2 or 3 days, the pneumonia was gone. I didn't need to go back to Olson. Saved me $10 a week, and I went back to smoking. Now, that's the way the game is played. So you got to be smart enough, boys and girls, that if you're going to go out and break the law, weaken your immune system, and then get diseased, that's what disease is, dis-ease, ill at ease, I feel bad. You got to be smart enough to stop doing what you're doing, let your immune system get back into operation. The immune system will cure you of the disease, it will go away, and then you can go back to chasing whores down at Flo's and smoking dope, or to splitting lines of coke or whatever it is that you're doing, until you impair your immune system again, and so on down the line. Now, common sense would tell you that if you were using your head, you wouldn't take cocaine or heroin or drugs of any kind, including those that are prescribed by your local drug pusher, the medical doctor. But as I said at the beginning of this program, you know, that isn't human nature. Human nature is I want to poke fun, I want to titillate my senses until I depress my immune system, until I come up with symptoms, you know, like Magic Johnson. Now, I don't know how Magic Johnson is living his life. As you get older, you'll probably wake up. Now, I smoked for years. I quit smoking one day. It occurred to me that smoking was probably going to kill me. Now, I used to drink a little, and I quit drinking to excess because I figured, well, drinking is probably going to impair my liver. You know, every time you take a drink, it has to be filtered out of your bloodstream through your liver. It taxes your liver. If you don't drink, if you don't take any alcohol at all, there's absolutely no taxation on your liver. Your liver does not have to tax itself to cleanse the blood of the alcohol at all, ever. And that's why the Adventists and the Mormons live longer. Their livers never have to spend an hour working overtime detoxifying their blood from the alcohol. Not that drinking a little alcohol is going to kill you, but based upon statistics, it's going to shorten your life by approximately 18 months. Hang on, I got to give you a reminder, and we'll be right back with more on the immune system, and here's how to cure that disease. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States, worldwide on the Internet. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order your CD package, just call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. And the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, politics, religion, news, and current events. And we do it 7 days a week. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to the authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend certain books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. However, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are going to reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publishers and publications cited on the Law are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review or vice versa. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, remember to go to our website, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about a weakened immune system and how to cure disease. And the number one way to cure disease is to rebuild your immune system. Now, there's two ways to rebuild the immune system. Remember, you can only get sick in one of two ways. You got to starve yourself, and that's what typically is going on with drug addicts. You know, they're taking these drugs, and they're not eating green leafy vegetables and fruits and a good, healthful, nutritious food. So as time progresses along, the vitamins and minerals in your body are used up and consumed. And as a result of that, your immune system gets weaker and weaker. And in one day, you get this opportunistic disease called AIDS, HIV, or maybe it's typhoid fever or yellow fever or pneumonia or something else. All right, now, oftentimes you are also poisoning yourself. So this drug addict over here who's shooting up with heroin over here is giving himself a double whammy. Number one, he's depriving himself of nutrients, but he's also poisoning himself at the same time. So as he poisons himself, as he keeps pumping his body full of heroin and crack and one thing and another, his immune system gets weaker and weaker, and one of these days an opportunistic disease comes along. And it may be a gonorrhea or a syphilis or something like that, and it overwhelms him. Now, keep in mind that the same whore down at Flo's who is infected with, let's say, syphilis, she has contact with 5 or 10 men in one night. one of those guys comes down with syphilis and the other nine do not. They all had contact with her. They all had sex with her. Now, why is it that one guy gets syphilis and the other seven or eight don't? And this is a phenomenon, so let's understand it. When your immune system is up and running, the syphilis bacteria gets into your body. Immediately, your immune system recognizes it, sends out white corpuscles, and they overwhelm the syphilis bacteria, kill it, and dispose of it. And that's the end of it. Now, if your body is healthy, it'll do that constantly. I've known guys to go down to flows, you know, quite often. And I'd always say to them, you know, one of these days you're going to come down with a dose of clap. And they always say, well, that's all right. When they do, I'll go down to the doctor and he'll give me penicillin or sofa drugs. And yes, that works. There's no doubt about it. But now you're getting up to, there's a super strain of gonorrhea coming out of Thailand. I mean, this stuff is so virulent, so nasty, so tough that none of these antibiotics will touch it. Or at least most of them don't. I think they're down to the last one or two antibiotics that they can use to deal with it. Well, what are you going to do when you run out of antibiotics that'll deal with this new super bug, this new super gonorrhea? Again, the logical thing is, why don't we avoid it? But you know, avoiding disease or the high risk factors isn't always practicable. Well, let's look at it pragmatically. I saw a movie here not too long ago where this kid, depicted in the movie, he was in a plastic bubble, and the air that came in, the oxygen that came in, was fed from tanks. And he lived in this bubble because his immune system was depressed. It didn't work. And if he was out in the normal air with the rest of us, just breathing normal air is filled with bacteria, is filled with viruses. Yes, the air that you breathe is filled with bacteria and virus. That's why it's called pneumonic plague. That's why when a guy sneezes in the room, if you breathe this in, if you inhale these little particles that are laced with flu virus, you get the flu. But not everybody gets the flu, and that's because not everybody's immune system is depressed at the same time. Now, you can get into a circumstance where a lot of people in an area have immune deficiencies, and then you introduce some new disease. And this new disease takes hold like bubonic or pneumonic plague and just wipes out people by the millions. Those plagues do occur from time to time, but they only occur in people with depressed immune systems to start with. All right, so with that in mind, autoimmune disorders can result from conditions ranging from rheumatoid arthritis to kidney disease. Unrelenting stress, chronic allergies, and chronic infections can exhaust your immune system. Medicinal drugs such as cortisone and vaccinations decrease or depress your immune system. Prolonged stress, toxic exposure to chemicals and radiation can weaken your immune system. Severe infections can both cause and be a result of. And an example of this would be allergies resulting from immune malfunction. If you're suffering from allergies, your immune system isn't working correctly. It's either plugged up or you're not getting enough nutrition to feed it. You're either poisoned or starving or a combination of the two. Now, which follow a severe case of rheumatic fever, hepatitis, mononucleosis, or other acute viral or bacterial disease. Lack of proper rest is yet another cause. So you're a truck driver. If you're like me, I used to be a truck driver. And I get paid for the number of miles that I travel. I get paid from taking this load of something or other to over there. Now, you know, if I've got a 500-mile drive at 50 miles an hour, I can work 10 hours. Drive 10 hours at 50 miles an hour, deliver my load, and I get paid. Well, what if I have to deliver that load 1,000 miles away? At 50 miles an hour, I got to work 20 hours. Well, now, it's either I got to work twice as hard and drive twice as far, or else I can stop after 10 hours, rest, and then go tomorrow. So instead of taking one day, it's going to take me 2 days to make the same amount of money. So what do I want to do? I want to make it in one day. And that the pressure that's on you to do it in one day is there. Like it and lump it. It's there. So in order for me to stay awake for 20 hours, you know, the normal body function says you got to lay down and sleep a little bit. So we discover that if we drink coffee, if we drink caffeine, if we drink Pepsi-Cola, we can get enough caffeine running around in our system that we can drive 20 hours. Well, no, another driver comes along and he says, well, listen, see this little white pill? Hey, this is better than caffeine. This is better than Pepsi-Cola or coffee. This little upper here will keep you trucking along here for 2 or 3 days. And I've seen drivers that tell me that, hell, they can drive 24, 36 hours straight. You know, stop and go potty and eat and fuel up and jump back in the truck and keep on trucking. But when you do that, boys, what you're doing here is depressing your immune system because your body has to have rest. And when you're sleeping, your immune system is recharging. It's like a battery, you know. Your immune system's like a battery, and it runs down. And as that immune system runs down, hey, listen, opportunistic diseases come in. So pretty soon you get the sniffles, and you get a cold, or you get the flu. Hey, we can't stop because we got the cold or a flu, so we start taking Dristan, or we start taking gargles, or, you know, this or that over-the-counter remedy there, which makes us feel a little better. But, you know, we just keep drawing off the battery until at some point in time the thing just plain collapses. And sometimes these diseases get to be kind of heavy-duty or serious, you know, like cancer, and atherosclerosis, and stroke, and heart attack, and AIDS. So tuck that away in your heart. So prolonged stress, toxic exposure to chemicals and radiation can weaken your immune system, severe infections, and these allergies resulting from immune malfunction, which follow a severe case of rheumatic fever, hepatitis, mononucleosis, or other acute viral or bacterial disease, lack of proper rest. Lack of proper rest. Let me emphasize that lack of rest. Right. So one of the solutions is, hey, why don't you can it for a couple of days and sit down and rest? Yet another cause of nutritional deficiencies, some nature healing specialists believe that any infectious disease may be considered an immune deficiency problem. Any infectious disease may be considered an immune deficiency problem. Underline that. They're exactly right. You know, any time that you get sick, you get a cold, you get the flu, you get bubonic plague, any kind of contagious disease, it had to be because your immune system couldn't ward it off. Just remember that you go to a party, and a guy comes in there and he's got the flu. He's coughing and sneezing and wheezing. And he's going to spread the flu to a number of people at the party, but not everyone. Not everybody at that party is going to get the flu. Why is that? It's because their immune systems are not depressed. But all of the people whose immune systems are depressed are more likely to get the flu from the carrier who comes in. This is why we have a contagion rule in the Bible called quarantine. When a person is sick, he's supposed to quarantine himself, get himself away from everybody else. And that's because the truck driver who stresses himself out for 36 hours has run his immune system battery down. I mean, this guy is susceptible to getting a disease. Now, if your immune system is run down, Mr. Truck Driver, and you run in to Flo's whorehouse and you get the wrong girl, and she's got, you know, she's carrying clap, you're liable to come down with venereal disease because your immune system cannot ward it off. That's the way the disease is spread. It goes from one person who is the carrier like a typhoid Mary to a recipient who has a weakened immune system. And that's because Typhoid Mary came into contact with hundreds and thousands of people, but she only gave typhoid fever to a few. She was a carrier. She had it. And if you are weak, you will probably get it from her. Now, the taking of aspirin has been linked as a cause of Reye's syndrome, asthma, low birth weight, and birth defects. Now, remember, on the 6 o'clock news, they tell you take aspirin because it prevents heart attacks. Okay, it's a chemical, aspirin. The taking of aspirin has been linked as a cause of Reye's syndrome, asthma, low birth weight, and birth defects. So, you know, do you want to run the risk of those four side effects by taking aspirin to alleviate the potential of a heart attack? It's a choice that you got to make, boys and girls. And out here in the real world, we make these choices. And these choices often come back and bite us in the butt. And if that happens to you, well, now we got to have a solution. Meat contains hormones, antibiotics, and bacteria which bring on disease. I want to pause right here. There's a section in this encyclopedia called Jacobs-Creutzfeldt disease. And the meat that we're getting, not that meat itself is bad for you. God gave you meat, and he divided it up. He said, here's clean meat, and here's unclean meat. Eat the clean meat. Now what we've done is we've taken the clean animals, you know, sheep and goats and cows, and we put them on feedlots, and then we feed them with bypass protein, and we give them mad cow disease and Jacobs-Creutzfeldt disease, and then we wonder, well, why is it that we're getting sick? And so these Adventists, they come along and they say, well, stop eating meat. Well, let me emphasize that, yeah, you ought to stop eating unclean meat, or meat that's being raised in a way that spreads disease, such as feedlot-raised beef. That's not natural. So they go on to tell you that alcohol, nicotine, caffeine, chocolate, and a high-sugar diet weaken the immune system. Now, did you see that chocolate? Chocolate? Well, now, you mean to tell me that if you eat a Hershey bar today that you're going to come down with bubonic plague? No, but if you eat too much chocolate too often, you can plug up your immune system and come down with bubonic plague. So why don't we eat chocolate in moderation? Why don't we drink in moderation? Why don't we drink coffee in moderation? Instead of trying to drink enough coffee or take in enough caffeine so that we can drive this truck 20 hours or 30 hours nonstop, why don't we moderate that? I mean, it's a choice that you got to make. And one of these days, you know, you're going to make the wrong choice and you're going to come down with one of these incurable diseases with a weakened immune system and find out that, hey, listen, getting rid of this isn't any easy chore. Getting rid of cancer is not an easy chore. Getting rid of HIV is not an easy chore. It's a hell of a lot easier to avoid it than it is to cure it. But again, it's a choice you gotta make. But when you come down with HIV, when you come down with cancer, it's not impossible to cure it. But boy, are you gonna have to work hard. And boys and girls, not very many people can make the kind of lifestyle changes. When you come down with cancer and you have to give up all chocolate, period, all meat, period. My wife, for 2 years and 8 months, did not eat meat. She couldn't. And at the early stages, she could only eat 6 almonds a day. That's the maximum protein intake that she could take. Her body was so weak from cancer, so eaten up by cancer, the protein that she could take was 6 almonds a day. Now, tuck this one away in your heart. Let me show you a little something here. Sit down at Thanksgiving dinner and pig out. Just do it next Thanksgiving. Or you can go down to the Outback and you can just pig out on steak. We want high consumption of protein. Just sit down and eat a great big T-bone steak. What happens after you eat this great big T-bone steak? Did you notice you get lethargic, tired, sleepy, and you want to sit down and go to sleep? That's not an accident. Here's what happens. The food in your stomach, to digest it, takes 75% of your body's energy. So your body immediately gets this huge influx of protein. Suddenly, your body says, okay, let's shut down and go to sleep so we can digest all of this protein. That's what happens when you get cancer. You get cancer and you keep eating this regular diet of meat and potatoes and high concentrations of sugar and fat, and it takes 75% of your body's energy to digest your food. Your body only has 25% to function and to cure itself of the cancer. There's not enough electrical charge in your immune system to do all of it. So here's the way that cancer is cured holistically. They take you off of meat so that instead of your body taking 75% of its energy to digest food, it only takes maybe 25 or 30 or 40%. Now the surplus energy that it has, it can attack and destroy the cancer. That's the way naturopaths and holistic healers work. Very simple and straightforward. It's kind of like dieting. You know, if you're overweight, it means that you take in more calories than you burn up. So if you're a guy like I am out here on the farm, in the wintertime I put on 10 or 15 pounds. In the summertime I shed 10 or 15 pounds. This is summertime. When I walk outside and I go to do some work, I'm fixing fence or picking up rocks or doing something out there, I just sweat like a horse in a horse race. I mean, it just pours off of me. And so do the calories. See, when I'm out there working, I'm burning up calories. So I'm consuming 2,000 and burning up 2,500. So I'm losing weight. In the wintertime, I'm consuming 2,000 and I'm burning up, 1,500. And so I'm gaining weight. All right, so that's all you have to know to figure out how to lose weight. You got to burn up more calories than you consume, and that's why exercise is so important in maintaining your body's fitness and your immune system. Couch potatoes. If you're going to sit on the couch and watch TV with cancer running around in your body, you're probably going to die. So what my wife had to do was to work up a sweat twice a day with cancer. She'd have to go out on a trampoline and jump up and down until she worked up a sweat twice a day. Now, there's another way that you can do that. Have you got a sauna? You got one of those hot tubs? Well, you go out and you get in that hot tub and you work up a sweat in the hot tub. Whether you're jumping up and down on a trampoline or you're jumping up and down building or fixing fence in the hot sun or you're sitting in a sauna, if you can get your body to sweat, your skin is your body's biggest organ, elimination organ, and it is sweating out those toxins, those poisons that are in your body, those chemicals that you're taking in when you eat an Oreo cookie and you're eating some black dye number 9 or red dye number 6 or whatever it is. You're sweating it out. Now that's what your immune system is all about. Now if you work with your immune system, you can overcome or cure virtually any disease, including diabetes and cancer and heart trouble. I saw a guy one time, I was in chelation therapy some years back now, and this guy came in and he had virtually no energy, and he happened to be sitting next to me, and I said, well, how badly are you plugged up? And he said, about 85%. And they said that they were going to give me a bypass surgery and they only gave me a 50% chance of living. And somebody told me about this chelation and I thought, well, I'm going to try this chelation. And in fact, I think it was his second or third chelation treatment. I said, well, are you feeling any better? And he said, well, no, I'm not feeling any worse though. Now, the guy ultimately went on to melt the plaque out of his arteries and went about living his life in a normal way. If you have bypass surgery, you're going to be an invalid for the rest of your life. The minute you have bypass surgery, like Bill Clinton, he's an invalid for the rest of his life. Doesn't mean he's dead. It just means that he's lost both headlights and both tail lights. He has no turn signal. Yeah, he's still alive. He can't drive at night. You know, he can't give a turn signal. So just take that analogy of the automobile. You know, your body is a machine, and the better you take care of your machine, the better you change the oil or the more often, and the better fuel you put into it, the longer the machine's going to run. Yeah, it's true. The car is going to wear out. At some point in time, that engine is going to blow up. and you want that engine to blow up after you've run it 250,000 miles, not at 62. Now, lupus. Lupus is an autoimmune system breakdown. Lupus usually begins suddenly with fever, fatigue, arthritis, and joint pain. Those with lupus are frequently misdiagnosed as having rheumatoid arthritis. 90% of lupus occurs in women in their 30s. Other symptoms include a characteristic facial butterfly rash, severe hair loss, and papular skin lesions. This rash forms over the nose and cheeks in something of a butterfly shape, which tends to intensify because of sunlight. The skin lesions are small yellowish lumps, and they leave scars when they disappear. Lupus means wolf in Latin, indicating the rough appearance that it gives to the skin. Kidney disease, and 50% of those with lupus and low white blood cell count are generally present. All of this in turn produces inflammation of the joints and or blood vessels, affecting many parts of your body. Sometimes the first appearance of the problem is an arthritic-like condition with swelling and pain in the joints and fingers. Severe cases can affect the brain and heart. Sometimes the central nervous system is affected, and deep depressions, amnesia, seizures, or psychoses can result. Now here's what causes lupus. Lupus is an inflammatory and autoimmune disease of the connective tissue. It's been classified as an autoimmune disease since the body is attacking itself. Autoimmune disease. How come people get lupus? I didn't get lupus. I mean, probably you didn't get lupus, but this other guy over here, he did. Why did he get lupus and you and I didn't? Well, you know, when you ask people that, they say, well, it's just the luck of the roll. You know, it's just the way the dice came up. No, it isn't. That guy's immune system over there is attacking itself because he is eating poisons and toxins, and he's not feeding his immune system correctly. And when he changes his diet and gets rid of the poisons, the lupus will go away. Your body will stop attacking itself. And if you and I adopt the same diet that he's got and the same lifestyle that he's got, you and I can develop lupus just like he did. How do you think these scientists in the laboratory give rats cancer? How do you think they give them heart attack or diabetes? There are causal factors that cause diabetes. There's causal factors that cause plugging up your arteries. And when you duplicate that with somebody else, he'll come down with the same symptoms and the same disease. You give a pregnant woman thalidomide and she will have a deformed baby. You want deformed babies? Shoot them up with thalidomide. You want to have whole babies that don't have flippers and have all their limbs? Don't give them thalidomide. All right, we're out of time again. Just when you're getting wrapped up and having a good time, we run to the end of the story, so we're going to have to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. Meantime, remember that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Law School. That's the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States, worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just go to the Law School website, georgegordon.org, click onto the email machine and send a request, or call direct at 417-273-4967. Remember, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, economics, science, education, politics, health, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. And all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.